T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios. Going to be kind of an interesting hour ahead. What with Travis Schlenk joining us around 8:20, we'll talk with the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks about the draft and about the NBA playoffs and all the headlines in the NBA. Joel Corey in just a couple of minutes here, one of the big sports contract people in America, and a guy that, as a former agent, works for CBS Sports, somebody we like a lot. A lot of headlines this morning. By the way, I do want to throw this in here that we've been talking about it because we want you to go to our website, 929thegame.com, and sign up to be part of our event on Wednesday, June 6th, the Top Golf. It is our Rock and Jock event. Hugh, it's going to be a ton of fun. Grady Jarry presenting this. It's for charity. There's going to be a lot of stars there. Brian Jordan, Vic Beasley, Spoon, Ray Lewis, Derek Shelby, on and on and on. And we're all going to get together and do a little target golf on Wednesday, June 6th. And you get to hang around with all these celebrities and be part of the event. We want you to go sign up and come be with us.
Yeah, slots are still available, man. So, you know, come on and sign on up, and you can get to hang out with us. 929 Game is some of your old football heroes, and just hang out and play some golf and Top Golf and have a good old time. And the best part about it is you don't have to wait for the cart girl to come around to get a dope beverage.
New.
Just go straight to the bar.
Right there at Top Golf. So it'll be a lot of fun. Come join us at Top Golf again Wednesday, June 6th. Then you can go to our website, 929thegame.com, and check out more on this. Of course, a lot of headlines, including the Braves playing the Phillies tonight in Game 2 of that series. And the NBA continues with Golden State taking on Houston in a critical game for them. The NFL is in town for the NFL meetings. They'll make a lot of headlines today, and then there's much ado about what's going on at Flowery Branch, what with the Atlanta Falcons in OTAs and the fact that that Julio Jones is not there, and a lot of people are making a big stink about the fact that Julio isn't there. I, for one, I'm not concerned about it. I think the Falcons, whatever's going to happen in terms of Julio's contract, I think they're going to work it out, and he's going to be a Falcon for the rest of his career. That's kind of the way I think of it. Unless at the very end of his career, he goes and spends a year somewhere. But I can't see Julio in another uniform, but that's just me. We are happy to welcome into the program from CBS Sports, Joel Corey, former agent, is an NFL contract specialist. He's also a salary cap specialist for CBS, and he joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. See if we can't get into a little bit of the numbers involving all of this. Joel, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, Joel, let's talk a little turkey. Ian Rappaport is reporting that Julio Jones might want a new deal this just a couple of seasons after he signed a $71 million deal. Can the Falcons do this? Can they rework his deal to make him one of the higher-paid wide receivers and still make it team-friendly?
Well, the problem is teams typically do not adjust contracts in a significant way with 3 years remaining. Jones really isn't dramatically underpaid. The market hasn't changed. He's still eighth overall average yearly salary. His guarantees $47 million third among receivers. His 35.5 fully guaranteed third. The cash flow in the deal, the percentages of new money after each year, are comparable to what Matt Ryan just signed. So it's not like he signed a deal which is extremely backloaded. The problem is teams don't like setting precedents, no matter how good the player. If they do something for him with 3 years left, the team always is concerned about what happens next. Does Alex Mack come back next year with 3 years left and go, hey, center market's changed, do something for me? Ryan Schrader, the deal that he signed was bad when he did it. The right tackle market has jumped dramatically. Does he do the same when he has 3 years left next year? Teams hate establishing new contract precedents and avoid doing that at all costs.
You know, speaking of that, because I kind of touched on that this morning, why do you think that, per this report by Ian Rappaport, that the Falcons said that they would look into this? Why did you even think they said that part?
Well, how do we know if they actually said that and that's just not the agent putting it out there to try to put pressure on the team? I don't know either way. But if you're going to do anything for Julio Jones, there are two recent precedents where you don't really fundamentally change the contract, which could appease him. You look at what Pittsburgh did with Antonio Brown in 2015 and 2016 when he had 3 and 2 years left. They took $2 million out of his 2016 salary, gave it to him in 2015, converted that and other money to signing bonus. So the cap number went down. 2016, they borrowed money from 17, gave him $4 million more, same type of maneuver, so he got $6 million more than he wasn't when he was supposed to make earlier. And then they redid the deal with 1 year left. Last year, Rob Gronkowski had 3 years left on his contract. New England added $5.5 million of not likely beyond incentives, which he earned. So you could potentially do one of those two things or some combination and hope that's something that would appease Jones.
You know, speaking of some other contracts going around the league, we know that Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, you know, with the next contract being done. But this Tom Brady thing, we were sitting here speculating. Tom Brady's 40 years old. How much money is he realistically looking at for a quarterback of his age?
The problem is you haven't had a quarterback ever play at a high level at 41. He's going to turn 41, I think, in August, so we're talking uncharted territory. And quarterbacks at his age fall off a cliff. I don't expect that to happen this year with Brady. What you really could do, and this was my article last week on CBS, which was looking at how underpaid he's been past few years, and what you could do on a go-forward basis. Drew Brees surprisingly gave New Orleans a slight hometown discount for the first time. Signed for $50 million over 2 years, $27 in the first year. That's what's fully guaranteed. Brady is supposed to make $15 this year and next year. What you could do, and it will require you to have some dead money, is convert $25 million of that into signing bonus, pay him $27.5 this year, defer enough the signing bonus where there's some money coming in 2018. Most signing bonuses are deferred. It's a 3-year extension, averaging $25 million per year. He says he's going to play through 45. That I'll not hold my breath on that. But you would be paying him $45 million over the next 2 years. You're not going to pay him like Jimmy Garoppolo because he's living on borrowed time just like Brees is, but give him $7.5 million more this year and next year and then see where he goes. Hopefully he's going to play through 2020 or 2021 so you wouldn't have a lot of dead money from the signing bonus once he's not there anymore. But that's some sort of thing you could do for him, but you're never going to pay him like Aaron Rodgers at his age.
Joe Corey of CBS Sports is a salary contract expert. He's a man that we turn to when we have issues like what's going on with Julio Jones. So that I understand it, because in my world, you know, you negotiate a contract, right? Or you renegotiate a contract. But what you're saying to me is kind of the you know, it's not so much a restructuring of the contract, it's a reconstructing the whole thing from the ground up. So you're not giving Julio a new deal. What you're doing is taking his current deal, putting it all into a pot and kind of mixing it back up and then distributing it in a different way that makes him happy.
Well, teams just don't rip up deals and renegotiate them, particularly if 3 years left. What they typically do is they extend them out for a couple more years, and you're going to redistribute money, put new money in the existing years, and there's going to be new money going into the new years. But with 3 years left, that's a dicey proposition. I've been in that situation before when I was an agent trying to get a team to do something with a guy with 3 years left because the receiver market had changed. That was with Jimmy Smith in 2002, and we had a long holdout. We finally got a new deal, but it wasn't until a few days before the regular season. So if Julio Jones wants a new contract, he wants them to pay him at the top of the receiver market, we add 2, 3, 4 new years. Good luck with that, because you got other guys you need to address who are more pressing. Jake Matthews, left tackle, contract year. Grady Jarrett, interior defensive lineman, contract year. Those guys are going to be more of a priority than anything that Atlanta's going to do with Julio Jones.
Uh-oh, see, what you've done right now, Joe, you gave everybody heart palpitations in Atlanta. Because everybody was thinking this was all a kumbaya.
Not trying to do that.
This was all a kumbaya situation that this deal would get done, but it doesn't seem like, from what you're saying, that probably is the case.
No, because teams typically just don't do deals with 3 years left. They're not going to give them a whole new contract. I would say if anything gets done, it's got to be add incentives, or it's got to be the Antonio Brown borrow money from future years, so we give him more money today where he has less money in the future, and maybe you do a deal with 2 years left because the teams are more amenable to doing with 2 years left. There was a guy, Navarro Bowman, 2 years ago got a deal done with 3 years left. I have no idea why the Niners did that, but they did do it for him, so it's not like it's completely unprecedented. But on this team, I don't recall the Falcons redoing a deal anytime in recent memory with 3 years left, like a brand new extension or total renegotiation. That just doesn't really happen in the NFL.
All right, so you're a former agent. Let's say you're Julio's agent. What would you tell him right now?
Well, I would be trying to work on his expectations more than anything else and explain to him how it works and try to get him on the, let's try to work on getting you more money this year. He's making $10.5 million this year. That's 12th in terms of cash for receivers. Try to get him more money this year and worry about doing a Band-Aid now and try to secure some sort of commitment from the Falcons that will address it in a much more meaningful way next year. They're just not going to want to set a precedent. And if I had a dollar for every time a team told me they couldn't do anything because of a precedent, I could buy an NFL franchise. They're not going to want to set the precedent for redoing a deal completely with 3 years left.
That totally makes sense. Joe Corey, CBS Sports and salary contract expert, joining us here. How much money will Aaron Rodgers get? When will he get his deal done?
Training camp at the latest, because they always do his deals with 2 years left. That was my article 2 weeks ago on CBS trying to project out what that deal would be. I pegged it at 160 over five is the new money. Just based on the historical relationship between the highest paid quarterback and the second highest paid quarterback. So that would be about right, $32 million per year to his 30. I don't think he's going to set new marks in guaranteed money unless he pushes really hard for it, because Green Bay is one of these teams like Pittsburgh, which does deals a little bit differently. They don't have the same type of guarantees and deals that other teams do. They made an exception for Rodgers in 2013 when he did his extension. He's only got his base salary guarantees. Otherwise, it's just signing bonus. He didn't set a mark then. I don't think he will now. I think he falls short of the $100 million overall guarantees that Matt Ryan has, the 94.5 fully guaranteed at signing.
You know, we're talking about all these guys that are going to sign for this big money. Can you tell me why Aaron Donald has not sat down with the Rams right now and they haven't gotten a deal done? Why is that? Why is he still without a contract?
Your guess is as good as mine on that one, because that's the guy you should pay. I kind of call him, I liken him to a guy that I used to help represent, John Randall. To me, he's the modern-day John Randall. He's a guy that they should have taken care of him last year when he was holding out, because the longer you wait to sign a good to great player, the more it's going to cost you in the long run. And he's already proven, I don't need to show up for anything, and I can have a great year. And if I'm the agent, because you made me wait, and I had to go out and have a career year, become defensive player of the year, not only am I going to adjust my offer from last year for how much the cap went up, I'm tacking on even more than that because I had a career year. So not only do I want to be the first $20 million per year non-quarterback, I want to go well above and beyond that, particularly since they don't have to pay a quarterback for the next year or two.
That'd be fascinating, hey, Joe.
That's going to be bananas.
We'll watch that. One final quick question. We began by talking about Joe Corey, CBS Sports, former agent, contract expert for CBS Sports. Talking about Julio Jones, let's end it by talking about Matt Ryan. A lot of angst here in town about Matt Ryan's deal. What was your impression of Matt Ryan getting that deal from the Falcons? Think it was a good deal for both sides or what?
I came in about where I thought it would come in. I thought $30 million per year was going to be the magic number because his agent, Tom Condon, had the first $20 million per year deal with Drew Brees. He was going to want the first $30 million per year deal. Once Kirk Cousins got 84 fully guaranteed at signing, and another Condon guy last year had 92 in overall guarantees, Matthew Stafford. I thought $100 million in guarantees would be the magic number. He got more fully guaranteed at signing. I didn't think he'd get to 90 fully guaranteed at signing, but the deal basically came in where I thought it would.
Joel, we appreciate your input, and we'll lean on you for all this in the future. Thanks very much for taking a few minutes.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Joel Corey of CBS, contract expert for CBS, former agent. All right, here's the contract I want to sign with you. $1,000 in your pocket right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Focus. You need to focus on the road right now, F-O-C-U-S-E, especially if you're driving a Focus. Focus on the road. You have to 859 to text the word focus to 72881. That is focus, F-O-C-U-S, to 72881. Do not text and drive. Focus to 72881 for the national signing bonus word of the hour. Focus to 72881. All right, so next, the NBA draft is looming. Travis Schlenk, the NBA playoffs, which have been kind of, you know, the conference final coming out. We're going to be talking with Travis about that coming up here and discussing the draft and much more with Travis Schlenk. Should be an interesting interview with the Hawks general manager, especially considering, you know, LeBron going off for 44 last night, Hugh. I mean, 4-4 again.
Yeah, he has to have a good game, man, if they want to stand a chance. But he had his supporting cast. They did a good job last night. Kyle Korver, 14 points, two nights back-to-back, 14 of them things.
And, of course, again, Travis Schlenk next, live with John and Hugh after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason. It is the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 Daddy Game, because you got basketball. You got a lot of it. Though, right now, it's not very close basketball. If last night was the nail-biter of the conference finals, that didn't say much for the conference finals, which have been blowout after blowout after blowout. And if you want to, if you're sick and tired of the Golden State Warriors, you want to blame somebody, you can blame Travis Schlenk. He was part of the building of that, man of
that
mercy.
Juggernaut.
41-point win. Unbelievable. He joins us this morning again on the WakeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Travis.
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. Right out the gate, Andre Iguodala, they're slated that he might not play tonight. How important is he to that lineup of the Golden State Warriors?
He's an important piece. You know, Andre is one of those Swiss Army knife type of guys. You know, he handles the ball, he defends, he rebounds, he creates and makes plays for others. So he's an important piece of what they do.
You know, just looking at this, looking at the blowouts here, here's the list, Travis. In seven games so far, last night's 9-point win by the Cavaliers was the closest of the seven games. Boston won by 13, Golden State won by 19, Houston won by 22, Boston won by 25, Cleveland won by 30, and, of course, Golden State won by 41 points. What is this? I mean, isn't this supposed to be playoff basketball where it kind of goes down to the wire in overtime? And
yeah, I mean, I think what you're seeing is with the advent of the three-point line becoming so much a greater part of the game, is you're seeing a lot more volatility in scoring. If a team has a great night shooting the ball, the game Houston won, P.J. Tucker goes, I think it was 7 for 8 or something like from the field and hit, 5 or 6 three-pointers. So what you're seeing with a three-point line is if a team gets hot, they can really pour it on. You know, obviously, the Golden State game the other night, Curry goes whatever it was, 10 for 12 from the field in the second half. So when the three-point shot, when a guy or a team gets hot, you're going to see a lot more unbalanced scores.
Well, enough of that, Travis. Let's talk about last weekend. Did anybody at the mini combine for the NBA, did anybody wow you? I mean, I know you can't say anybody's names, but was there anybody that you saw that you like, listen, I need that guy on my squad right there?
Well, so the big thing with the combine now is a lot of the top guys, they don't participate. They'll do the interviews and they'll get measured, but when it comes to playing 5-on-5, those guys aren't playing. So the guys that were playing were a lot of the underclassmen, as you guys know. There's 260 underclassmen that put their names in a draft. So, you'll get those guys playing, and what they're doing is they're looking to see if they can get a commitment from a team saying, or, from several teams, that they'll get a hard look in the first round. So, the top guys aren't playing, unfortunately, but it's still a good opportunity to get to see some of those younger guys as they try to establish themselves in their draft position.
So speaking of the guys that did the interviews, were there any crazy answers to some of the questions that you asked? Oh, you thought I was going to forget, didn't you? You thought I was going to forget.
Nothing jumps out this time.
Okay.
We tried. I mean, yeah, it's Travis Schlecht talking about the draft combine after the draft lottery in Chicago and much more. Speaking of that draft combine, Georgia Tech got some bad news, really, in a way, that Josh Okogie is going to go to the NBA and forego returning to Georgia Tech, and that's a kind of a big loss, I think, for Josh Pastner. These guys, sometimes, are they taking flyers and projecting themselves and being NBA pick? I'm not talking about Okogie. I want to be clear here, Travis. I'm not talking about Okogie himself. Do you see guys who are saying and raising their hands saying, okay, I've been invited to the combine, therefore I'm going to the NBA, and you as an executive go, okay, good luck to you?
I mean, that certainly happens. Like I said, there's only going to be 60 guys drafted in the draft, as you guys know, and, you know, we had 260 underclassmen put their name in. So that means there's roughly 200 people that are, you know, getting bad advice or, you know, could make a bad decision. Now, a lot of those guys could back out of the draft, and we've already seen some of them do it. But if you get invited to the combine, there's only 70 guys there, so you like to think you have a chance of getting drafted. And as far as each individual decision, you know, a lot of times we just don't know. It could be the kid's family situation where they feel like they need to help support their family financially. It could be an academic situation where the kid knows that he's, you know, going to be ineligible next year, or, you know, it could just be as simple as, you know what, I'm ready to get on with the next stage of my life, or, you know, maybe there's a coaching change at the school and the coach the kid signed up for got fired and they brought in a new coach, and instead of transferring and sitting out in a year, that they're ready to move on. So there could be a lot of different factors of when it comes to kids putting their names into the draft.
And talking with Travis Schlecht, a couple of things about the top of the draft. Mo Bamba from Texas, the center from Texas, they measure his wingspan at 7 feet 10 inches. Is that a game changer for him?
Well, it's certainly not a bad thing. We had a chance to sit down and talk with Mo, and he's different than a lot of the kids out there. He doesn't have an agent. He's representing himself. He walked into the interview room and, you know, handed his business cards, and, you know, on his business card, he's got his office line and his cell phone. I know when I was 19 years old, it never even crossed my mind to have an office line. So he's a different kid. He's, you know, a lot more mature than a lot of these kids. So he's got a lot of physical tools. He's got great anticipation on the defensive end to protect the rim. The thing with him is he's just got to get stronger. He's obviously very long and very lean, and, you know, he's got to get some mass on his frame.
7 foot 10 inches. I mean, that's insane. 84 inches unbelievable. You know, 94 inches, actually, right? We're talking about Travis Schlecht. We're talking to him about the NBA draft and the combine. There has been no more person, Travis, that has been talked about over the last week than Luka Doncic. Now, he wins the EuroLeague MVP. There are hints from his camp that they want to kind of maybe, I don't know, pick or choose the team that they go to. Phoenix comes out and says, you know, we're amenable and open to trading the number one pick. What do you make of Doncic and how he kind of falls and his impact on this draft and some of the things that are going on?
Yeah, we had a chance to sit down with his agent last week in Chicago and try to get a read on the situation. And his agent obviously was flying over to the Final Four in Belgrade, and he'll get back to the States this weekend, and we're going to circle back with him. What he's been able to accomplish in Europe is we've never seen before. You know, a 19-year-old kid, as you mentioned, you know, been the MVP of the Final Four, MVP of EuroLeague, won a European championship. It's just what he's been able to accomplish at his age has never been duplicated over there. He's got really good size at 6'8". He's got really good court vision, his ability to pass the ball. He's a good shooter, not a great shooter, but, you know, that's one thing that guys get better at with a lot of repetition. And obviously in the NBA, you know, you get nothing but repetition. And, you know, his body, his frame, he's got a good frame. He's got the ability to add good weight. So he's certainly an intriguing prospect. And with his basketball IQ and his ability to make his teammates better for his age and just his maturity on the court is really impressive.
You know, Travis, speaking of some of those workouts that you had last week, I want to talk a little bit about a kid from UGA, Yatin Matin. Did he show you anything that would lead you to believe that he could probably be NBA ready?
You know, he's got a good frame. He's got good size. He's got good skill playing out on the perimeter for a big. He's, you know, can make mid-range jump shots. You know, can he stretch that out to the NBA three-point line? I think it's going to be important for him. Mm-hmm. But he's got good passing skills on the perimeter. So he did a nice job up there. You know, he's not the world's greatest athlete. But, you know, he beats you with his basketball IQ out there.
So, Travis, what's for you and Coach Pierce now between now and the draft? What's next?
We are working on filling out his staff, trying to get that in place. Tomorrow we're going to fly up to New York. Now the big thing is agent workouts. So all the different agencies will have all their different clients work out. So we'll fly up there to XL Sports Management's having theirs tomorrow up in New York. So we'll fly up there and watch those. And, you know, it's just a good chance to – there's really scripted workouts. You don't get a ton of it watching the kids, but it's just a chance to get, you know, FaceTime with the kids again and spend some time with the agents. And just it's part of the process now. So we've got those tomorrow, and then next week we'll be out in L.A. for the same thing. There's like five or six of them out in L.A. next Tuesday, Wednesday, one in Vegas on Thursday, and then we'll be back here. And then we've got workouts coming up here as well, in where we'll bring guys into Atlanta the next few days, next couple weeks, obviously, as well.
It's always a pleasure, Travis. Very interesting times and never a downtime. The off season, ha, ha, ha. Right, off season. Yeah, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, thanks, Travis. Do appreciate your updates.
Okay.
All right, Travis Schlake, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks.
All right, good times.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
Especially about you know Doncic and what he thinks of him. I don't know how this is all going
to
play out.
Yeah, it has to be hard for Trav because you don't know it's not a whole lot that he can say, you know, because he's so close to the situation. But he does. Hey, shout out to Coach – well, not Coach Slink, but Travis Slink for doing that. It's pretty cool.
We venture into that area of the show known as a Hughes World.
When your Hall of Fame induction goes kind of wrong. I guess that's the best way I can put it all together. All that on the other side of Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode. So back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Before I get into this terrible plaque, terrible, terrible plaque that was made for Brandi Chastain, I would like to invite you to come join me in 92.9 The Game and Cognac this Thursday. From 7 to 9 p.m. at the new Cigar City, the sports bar off of Roswell Road. As a matter of fact, the address is 4990 Roswell Road. Georgia's largest cigar superstore is now open, Cigar City. You know what's so cool about this place is that if you've ever been to Cigar City, you know that there's a dress code, a strict dress code there. You have to kind of dress up and have your school clothes on and your swanky attire. The best part about this sports bar is that it's a sports bar. They got a bunch of TVs. You can sit there and enjoy a nice stogie, and you don't have to get dressed up to do it. This is my kind of spot, so come join me this Thursday from 7 to 9, 4990 Roswell Road. Me and the Game Day Cognac, Camus. So as you know, like when you get immortalized in, say, like the Hall of Fame or your high school Hall of Fame, like, you know, coming up, my man Brian Dawkins is going to the Hall of Fame, they do their best to make sure that your bust looks like you or your porch, your plaque.
Right.
So Brandi Chastain was she was enshrined into the Bay Area Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And when she went there, I guess she showed up, like I guess she took the picture for everything or whatever. And when she showed up, she didn't have that much time to look at the plaque that they made for us, a plaque. And I'm gonna tweet a picture of this plaque. Because John Freaky, when I tell you that this does not even look like this young lady, it looks like everybody else but her. So much so that people on Twitter were calling her Jimmy Carter, Gary Busey, or Bill Belichick.
Was it kind of like what they did with Christian?
Yo, no, this was worse. Like,
even worse.
I just posted it.
Okay,
this was way
it.
Worse.
Right, I gotta go check this.
This was way
it.
Worse.
You just tweeted this?
Yes, I did.
No, I gotta go find it.
Now,
yeah, here it is. Oh my God.
Somebody said she looked like Mickey Rooney.
Oh, that's hilarious. This is
retweet, though.
Somebody
said she looked like Babe Ruth. Now, Brandi Chastain is not, she's not an ugly lady. She's not. She's a very attractive woman. And She handled it like a G, because when you look at some of the photo ops that she took with it, she was smiling and all this other good stuff. But I don't know too many women that would be happy about their photo. They made her hair short. Her hair looks really, really short, and she looks like a dude.
Oh God, I would definitely say
she looks like Babe Ruth. That is not a good picture, man. That is not a good
picture. What was the Peyton Manning one? Was that what you said, Wendy? Wasn't it the Peyton Manning statue that everybody was mad about?
It was Ronaldo's.
Yeah, Ronaldo. Ronaldo. I think it was
Peyton Manning, too, right?
I don't know about that one. But the Cristiano Ronaldo statue, whether his bust, they had to go back and redo it because
it looked so jacked up.
It looked creepy. It looked real creepy.
You know, they could have just bronzed a sports bra and called it good. I mean, what does everybody know her for? That's what I'm thinking.
No, I hear you. But one onlooker wondered, in the story that says, one onlooker wondered if the plaque was based off of John Elway.
Oh, my God.
And they say a San Francisco columnist, Ann Killian, took it a step further. She said that it looked like it was just embarrassing. She said it was basically embarrassing.
Well, what do you do if you get there and what are you supposed to do? Go, oh my God, I'm not gonna do this.
No, you let them know. Like, listen, this is a great honor, but y'all need to change this because that does not look like me, dude. If I'm looking at that, if at a glance,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a guy. I don't think that's a good look. I think it's a guy because it looks like a guy. They made her hair short. And I guess I don't remember her ever having short hair like that. I don't remember that. And it's just a bad look for her. I mean, they need to redo that. They definitely, as much heat as they're getting, they need to redo that picture because that's not a good picture. It really isn't. That's a terrible picture.
And no offense, I know there are a lot of great artists out there, and I'm not trying to tell you, but you would think that in this day and age of 3D art, you know, where you can use a 3D replicator, that you could use a picture and it would be...
A 3D printer.
Yeah, 3D printer. You would come up with something that looks exactly like you.
And why do they have her hair like that?
Even in relief.
How did that even get approved before the thing? Someone's like, oh, this is great. Let's honor her because this doesn't look like her.
Or just use a picture. Forget about the bronze thing. Just use a photo.
Yeah,
just stay away from photos.
To your point, you probably should have just used the picture where she had her shirt off and just was kneeling on the ground.
Right.
That moment. That would have been better. But this one right here, man, if I'm her children, I'm looking at that and I'm upset that y'all got my mom looking like Babe Ruth because that's what she looked like.
I'm not going to argue your point. Yeah, I don't know who she looks like, but
if they compare you to Bill Belichick. Man. My mama does not look like Bill Belichick.
John Elway.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Now, the hair, and why did they make her hairstyle like that, though? You know what they need to do? Whoever made this, Brandon Chastain needs to go slap them across the lips and say, how dare you, and do this over. Because that is not a good look. That is not a good look.
I really just don't even know how this got through the first phase. You know, someone got it from the artist, and they had to look at it and say, this doesn't look like a girl. We cannot honor her with this. Let's just make a regular plaque until we can find a picture that looks like her.
You know what? Or not even, like, I don't know, not even unveil it. Say, hey, you know what? We got to push it back a little bit. Somebody was pressed for time. This is the thing that I understand. Why, when you look at her or whoever made this, that you thought that this was a great rendition? Like, really?
This is one of those kids who procrastinated in class, would always wait until, like, the period before draw their picture for art class.
Oh, heck, I got to put a bronze plaque up of Brandon Chastain. That's all right. I'll just use a picture of Bill Belichick.
I'm fumbling through my notes. Yeah. Oh, man, I forgot about Brandy's heart.
She looks like Bill Belichick. Let's do that. Nah, that's not a good look. That's not a good look at all.
Yeah, it was a bad look is right. Boy, that's awful for her. And I thought the talking point of the day was going to be the fact that Meghan Markle had to walk two steps behind Prince Harry.
Get behind me, woman! Bag, 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 bag.
Only on public or official business. Oh, stuff.
Somebody sent me something on the Twitter
official
that said
appointments.
She can't eat faster than the Queen.
What?
Yeah, like somebody said, one of the rules is you can't eat as fast as the Queen. Like you better, like if the Queen's eating slow, you better eat slow too.
We all eat
and
slow.
And the Queen's like 100 and she's eating like applesauce.
It was another rule. They said you can't, like, it said she can't go to the bathroom unless Harry allows it. I did read that rule. Though.
That's not true.
No,
come
it's
on.
Not.
Exactly. Come on, Hugh. You want it to be true so bad. You want it to be true so badly.
Hey, wait, I just made that one up.
Is the Queen one made up too?
Hey, yeah.
Yes, it
no,
sure
no,
is.
No, the Queen one is real.
I want to see proof.
But I did see this one where they said that she has to make Harry a sandwich every night.
You're such a liar.
She has to make him a sandwich.
Hugh, you need to go make me a sandwich right now for saying that.
Hey, woman, go make me a sandwich.
You made me a sandwich.
Go make me a sandwich, Queenie.
Ooh.
What Joel Corey said about the Julio Jones. If you missed Joel Corey's interview, we're going to kind of talk a little bit about it. What Ian Rappaport reported and what Joel Corey said after the fact to us about Julio Jones and his situation. That's next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, your Game Time traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth from the Game Time Traffic Center. As you're out there today, did have so much going on. Had the crash with 20 West before Moreland was in the center lane, 285 North at Cobb Parkway, also North Marietta Loop at 75. Had some slow traffic for you if you're trying to travel anywhere today, even on the 20 corridor. Westbound from 285 down to the downtown connector, it's still going to take you 24 minutes there. From the Game Time Traffic Center, I'm Stephanie Stallworth on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Middays 10 to 2. It's Rick Kamla and John Michaels.
How about this? Do you want to crap on this one, Rick? We found out who's going to be on Hard Knocks.
Who?
Your boys. Oh, did I steal that one too, Preacher Man? Well, we'll save it for the Preacher Man.
What nickname applies to John Michaels better? Because we've got a couple in the hopper right now. Old School Player.
I'd like that.
Which he dropped on Lloyd Pierce a couple days ago. Or Story Stealer. John Michaels, which nickname do you favor?
I like
Story Stealer or Old School Player.
I'm not a Story Stealer.
You kind of are. John, Story Stealer, Michael.
I'm not a Story Stealer.
You're a Story Stealer.
You jack more stories than I do.
Rick and John, weekdays 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hard work is about to get a lot easier thanks to the great deals.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.